Great efficiency with NACFI's Mike Roth and friends.
All right, hello. This is Mike Roth of NACFI, and we have with us today Jennifer Rumsey, president of the components at Cummins. We're going to talk about mathematics today. So kind of how has mathematics or STEM in general factored into your work?
Sure. Yeah, my career. So this year is my 21st year at Cummins, and much of my career has been in technical roles at Cummins. I actually grew up in Columbus, Indiana. Cummins, you know, in my life from the very beginning. My father was an engineer and spent many years working for Cummins. He's now retired. Grew up around a lot of Cummins engineers. And so for me, I'd say, you know, early on, I was good at math and science. And those engineers in my life suggested I consider engineering. And so I did that, went to Purdue, got my undergrad in mechanical engineering, and then to MIT for my master's in mechanical engineering, and spent the first 20 years of my Cummins career in engineering roles, really across the product lifecycle. I did technology development, new product development, worked in current product, had some engineering leadership roles in the engine business, and I was a chief technical officer for 4 years before I became the president of our components business last year and moved into a broader general management role.
Cummins and the whole industry is sort of abuzz with electric trucks or electrification and amongst other things, really. I've written a lot and been really excited about how much attention trucking finally has. And so, you know, it was probably during your time as chief technical officer where, you know, Cummins made some big announcements around electrification and even built a battery electric truck. And that kind of shocked a lot of us, maybe not me so much, but it kind of shocked a few people. You know, we it wasn't that long ago that the name of the company was Cummins Engine Company, right?
Yeah, so that's right.
Tell us a little bit about that particular time and even that, you know, that time and then that particular announcement for Cummins. Was that difficult or easy or?
Yeah, it's been exciting. I'd say, you know, certainly my time as a CTO was a really exciting period for the company. You know, one of the things that drew me to Cummins originally was their work and technologies to reduce the environmental impact of diesel engines. And if you think about the products that use our engines today, they tend to be pretty high power and energy consumers. And so we've done a lot of good work over the years and actually changed the name of the company from Cummins Engine Company to Cummins Inc. as we started to expand into components, the business that I have now that we're really focused on reducing emissions out of the diesel engine. And so, you know, for many years, we were really focused on that. And we recognized several years ago that we were starting to see technologies beyond internal combustion engine becoming viable and critical to meet some of the environmental goals that we think are needed for our planet. And Cummins had been working on battery technology and hybrid technology at a research level for a number of years. And we realized it was really time to position the company for the future. We, as you pointed out, were the first in the industry to launch a full electric a semi-truck, and while Cummins doesn't make trucks, we had that demonstration launch in August of 2017, which was really exciting. We formed our electrified powertrain business unit, and then last year evolved that to the new power business unit, which is really the part of Cummins that's focused on developing and commercializing some of these technologies beyond the internal combustion engine, battery electric, hybrid, fuel cell applications. I would say it wasn't hard. It really has been, for Cummins, a constant evolution of technologies and products, trying to embrace change as a way to bring the best products to our customer and also make sure we're focused on doing our part for the environment. Mm-hmm. And our skills and products have continued to evolve over time. And so today we have teams, you know, still very focused on continuing to improve internal combustion engine and diesel, and we have teams that are focused on these technologies that we think will increasingly become popular and making sure that we're helping our customers figure out which product is right for them
I remember early in my career in the mid 80s, you know, working with Cummins and others around just electronic engines, mm-hmm. you know, let alone
exactly.
where we are now. It was about that time, you know, 2016, 17, when NACFI kind of heard from the industry and started our work on electric trucks and electrification. And it's been really exciting to see it move forward, not only to fully battery electric, but, you know, hydrogen hybrids, like you've mentioned, and even electrifying some of the diesels. So that gets to really the kind of the reason I wanted to talk with you. And it was around what I'd call actually some irony. So, you know, part of that electric truck work, we've been sort of recognized as a sort of an unbiased third party. And in January, we got a call from the Society of Industrial and Applied Mathematics. I didn't even know who they were, but, you know, SIAM. And they wanted to partner with somebody on this idea of their annual problem being on electric truck conversion,
right?
Diesels to electric. And I was just like really shocked. And but you know, I'm accused of saying yes instead of no too often. So we jumped on it, and you know, we helped run that problem at the, you know, this is for high school juniors and seniors. Well, maybe you know more about it even than I do. But you know, we felt a real sense of irony. To be working on electric trucks on such a national sort of thing. And then really surprised when there was, I think, over 760 teams. And one of the six finalists was from Columbus, Indiana.
Yeah.
And actually, your daughter, right, was on one, yeah. on one of those winning teams. So tell me a little about your daughter as well and her interest in STEM and mathematics.
Yeah, it was very exciting. And I have to make a confession to you. So that her team was working in our basement for 14 hours on that math problem. And I had no idea it was on electric trucks. They were not allowed to ask for help. And so our mission was making sure they were well fed through the 14 hours.
So they had an expert literally right above them.
Yeah, but did not use it. And I think for them, probably, all of those kids have a connection to Cummins, and certainly in the community, you know, kids here understand Cummins, and it's been in the news, our electric truck. So they had some context maybe of the problem. I think they were pretty focused just on how do I solve the problem, right? And probably not an advantage there, but it's a great way to expose kids to a real world problem and have them use some of the skills, you know, and even push themselves on their math skills in a meaningful and applied way. And I know this was the second year my daughter had participated in the math modeling competition, and despite all of them and, you know, tons of activities that they participate in, and that weekend in particular was a really busy one. One of our final busy weekends before shelter in place took effect in Indiana, that they wanted to spend 14 hours, you know, working together with their friends to try to solve this math problem was really, really exciting. And I think many of them are doing STEM related fields, you know, are planning to pursue that in their career. And it's exposure to these real world problems that they can connect to and get motivated by that I think helps that.
Yeah. So it's been fun working on this for, you know, myself and my team. And we had to be very quiet about it during the development of the problem because, you know, no one could know. And SIAM kept warning me, you never know who is in your network, who's going to be involved in it. So we kept quiet. But once the weekend was over and the teams had done their work, including your daughter's team, we started talking about it. And it surprised me how many people I know. It's oftentimes you hear people say, well, I was on the high school basketball team or the football team or soccer. But it surprised me how many people in my network said, you know, I did a math athletic kind of problem, or I did a,
yeah,
you know,
I did it in high school too. I think those, you know, those, it's a different type of team activity that we, you know, can expose kids to. They can learn, you know, they can work in teams, you know, and again, in this situation, you know, get a taste of some of the real world problems that you know, people are actually working on today.
With a lot of pressure. So for those of you listening in, maybe you know, it's you get a team together and it has a, you know, high school advisor, all the teams do. And, but you go lock yourself in a room at, for time over the weekend. And as Jennifer said, you can get, no help except access to the internet. And, you know, the problem comes up on your screen and at 14 hours, the window closes. So what kind of preparation, did they go through leading up to it?
Yeah, I think, you know, those kids have all been, they were all seniors in high school. They've been exposed to a number of math classes. I think for all of them, it was their second year that they had participated in this math modeling competition. And so I think it was that, just that preparation. And then, you know, knowing how they wanted to work as a team, you know, the role that each of them would play. As you mentioned, they were allowed to use internet to do research. And so they really focused on, you know, the role that each of them was going to play on the team and working together to solve the problem.
So when they came upstairs and said, you won't believe what problem we had, well, what did they say? And was it, did they see it as a benefit to them or?
So I was in bed by the time they were done.
Of course.
I was in bed by the time they were done. So I didn't know until after the fact, but I think, you know, for them, it was neat that it was a problem that they could connect to. And certainly pretty ironic for a team from Columbus, Indiana, you know, with a strong connection to Cummins to be working on an electric truck problem.
Right. Unfortunately, they would have had a trip to New York City to present as part of the six finalists, and that had to be canceled. But all of the finalists put together videos, and so I helped judge the final videos, and that was a lot of fun to see. You know, I expected kind of dry videos out of math modelers, and oh, was I wrong?
Yeah.
they were pretty creative. And so congratulations to your daughter's team, to Columbus North High School, right? And to the area. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's going back to Cummins and the work. I mean, you know, how has sustainability, we know Brian Mormino, he was on the NACME's board for a long time and others there. And you know, we truly have seen over decades Cummins commitment, but it sure feels different today with and maybe COVID has opened our eyes a little bit to you know, how we recover. You know, people talk about recovering with resilience, and in your current role, that's probably a big deal. So how is that showing up at Cummins around sustainability and even climate?
Yeah, so the environmental sustainability has been an important part of Cummins mission for many years. And this year we're concluding our first environmental sustainability plan that we had put in place, which tackled a number of key issues. Our biggest impact by far is through our products. And so focusing on reducing CO2 emissions from products in use, and then also on what we could do in facilities relative to water, waste, and energy consumption. And then last year we announced our second environmental sustainability plan called Planet 2050. And with Planet 2050, we actually worked hard to incorporate some science-based targets and figuring out how Cummins could do our part, again, looking at our products as well as our within our own facilities and on our communities, and how we help stem the impact of climate change, become waste neutral, water neutral across all of our facilities. And our investment in this new power business and these new technologies is a part of that, right? We want to use our research and development efforts. We want to use our advocacy with governments around the world to help educate, to help advance the technology, and help bring these carbon-free technologies to our customers, you know, in a meaningful way. And so it's just really exciting to be a part of a company that's at the leading edge, really trying to push for environmental action.
And back to, kind of this weaving in this, how a need for more STEM expertise in our organizations, how has that sort of either the sustainability work or maybe specifically the electrification work? I had some very interesting discussions with other you know, long-term manufacturers like Meritor and Dana, who really said they had to look internally and realize they didn't have electrical engineering skills and needed to quickly expand. So just in general, what have you seen with respect to STEM and the skill sets at Cummins that's needed to pull all this off?
Well, certainly the skill set that's required has broadened. I mean, you referenced earlier the shift to electronic engines. So if you think back 25 years ago, we had pretty simple mechanical engines and mechanical engineers, right? And now we have electronic engines that have after-treatment systems, which are a chemical thermal system. With batteries and fuel cells, you know, increasingly chemical engineering, electrical engineering, material engineering, and still mechanical engineering. And so we've seen that broadening of the STEM skills that we need to be successful in the work that we're doing. I also think that today, the youth of today are much more passionate about the environment. And when they see work that companies are doing like Cummins on these cleaner technologies for the future, they get excited about that. And so I think that, you know, promoting our work on sustainability and on diverse technologies helps to attract students into STEM fields to start with and then into careers as well. It's somewhat ironic. I actually, my first job out of college was working on fuel cell technology many, many years ago, more than 20 years ago. And I did that because I wanted to make a difference to the environment. And I was excited about the technology. And, you know, and I came to Cummins because I wanted to work on something that would actually make a difference to a customer, right? And I recognized the opportunity to work on diesel technology. And now it's come full circle somewhat as we now are also working on fuel cell technology. But that, you know, that for many people is really exciting and attractive field.
Yeah, I really see that. I mean, I think that these transformational technologies, even automation, electricity, hydrogen, those are all work that's going on in the industry, you know, past the R&D labs, but really in, even in many cases, deployment or at least customer prototypes that has people thinking that the trucking industry and that the trucking industry really is becoming part of the solution. And, you know, the young folks, like we saw in this math challenge are seeing that. We had a truck driver in our run on less last year, leave a hospital job, to become a truck driver. And part of it was, what he saw with, the industry becoming cleaner and greener. And, he wanted to end his career as a truck driver. Really exciting to hear those kinds of stories.
That's great. And I think increasingly what you see, you know, in industry, and I see this in universities as well, is more focus on multidisciplinary teams, right? That you've got to bring these different skills, you know, technical and non-technical, different technical skills together to solve the problems that we face today and to really innovate and define the solutions that we'll need for the future.
Well, that's fantastic. So we'll close there, Jennifer, and maybe just the two of us congratulating the, you know, the, I think 3,500 plus math high school juniors and seniors that that took on this challenge and together worked on electric trucks to make them, you know, a solution. We're reviewing the information they put together. And so congratulations to Columbus North High School, to the team there. And thanks for joining me, Jennifer.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. Congratulations to all the students that participated in the program and those that were finalists, and look forward to seeing what they all do as they continue into their careers.
Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rosenfrantz.